way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 26 of the Dutch by Association podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona, and along with me, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alonz and Mitch Geese.
Hey, today's episode of the DBA pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. The weather has been colder than the two girls who ditched Aaron at his senior prom, but the deals are hot at your local Super High Tech. Stop by Super High Tech in Sheldon, Orange City, and Sioux Center for the best deals on phones, tablets, PCs, and more. On the web at super-ht.com.
I felt I was okay getting away with that because I knew you didn't read ahead.
No, I did not read ahead.
Read? What? Me read?
No, it doesn't have my name in front of it. I don't need to be concerned with it.
I'm sure you're still good friends with those two ladies today.
You know, they both moved out of state. So I don't see him very often. I bumped into both of them at like the school's 100th.
A date with you prompted them to move out of the state. If that isn't telling.
Well, they had to escape the shame.
No, they did what girls do. They went to Dort to get married, and they got this. They had success.
Wait, did they do the reverse Dort, and the girl married a Canadian? And
no. Canada? They didn't. No, move. They're in a different state, not a different country.
Oh, not a country. Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah. Michigan. So, let me guess. Michigan or Washington?
Yeah, for sure. I think the one might be Colorado, but he has an interesting degree that.
Wait. We said two girls.
He, the husband of.
I'm trying to explain why one of them isn't in Washington State and isn't in Michigan, because that doesn't seem right.
I'm trying to
graduate from Dort and get a job in not one of those states.
I'm trying to help you frame this. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah. No, we're good. We're fine. That's all the more that needs to be said.
Whew. Did they graduate? Did those girls graduate with education degrees?
I think so.
I feel kind of bad.
That's good. You know, when you talk about Dort and girls going to Dort, chances are.
Yeah, they're going for the MRS degree.
Yeah. Just happens to.
Wayne. Well, what? Please explain that. I've never heard the term.
Oh, shut your mouth.
And all my friends that I hung out with in high school went to Dort for engineering. Or math and that kind of thing. And
I've got an employee that works for me that's going to school for engineering. In from California, who came from Cal. He's not even CR. Came from California to go to Dort.
They have an outstanding engineering program.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So good I didn't do it.
Bravo to Hoekstra and the gang over there at Dort College.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Dort. I'm just surprised that. California right. Is another state. There's a CR presence there.
Where?
Oh, yeah. Central Chino. Valley. Yep, Chino.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Is it Chino or Chico? Chino's where the prison is at. Chico is like a farming community.
Good Chino. Correlation.
But wherever there's dairy in California.
Yeah. Wherever there's Dutch, you will have Visalia, some Dutch reform.
That's one of them.
And I guess that.
There's little pockets everywhere. Like our pastor came from Vermont. There was an immigration from the Netherlands after World War II to purchase, buy up dairies in this little pocket of Champlain Valley in Vermont and bloop, start a CRC.
Speaking of the Dutch, I saw pictures on the internet today, you know, with this cold snap that's come through. It's actually like frozen a lot of the Dutch waterways and stuff like that, you know, areas that don't normally freeze over like that, and people skating and, you know, amongst the tulips and
the windmills in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they have wooden skates too?
Yeah, that's a good question. See somebody doing a triple sow cow and some wooden skates. That would be...
I haven't ever seen those for sale at the Tulip Festival. So I don't know if they exist or not.
Yeah, good call. Good call. But hey, maybe that's,
hey,
that's
new a business niche. Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, this, you know, there's 70% of the U.S. covered in snow right now. You're seeing all these dumbasses down in Texas that are cleaning off their windshields with like spatulas and using like the garden shovels to try and shovel their walk. It's kind of funny, kind of sad, but it's... I won't say it's unprecedented, but it's a little different.
So a lot of these places down south have all electric heat. Great idea. Right. Mm-hmm. Until you all need it at once. Right. Bad idea.
And it's so cold that natural gas doesn't flow normally, right? That's part of the deal? Because their pipeline is built differently down there.
Yeah,
so
they're assuming a typical temperature above a particular point, like 55. But and then so you have a house down in Texas or Oklahoma. You put your furnace in the attic. They don't do basements.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you put your furnace in the attic and you think, you know what? I'm going to spend a little bit more and get a high efficiency furnace. It produces water when it runs. Oh, crap. It's cold enough that my attic is froze. Now I have no heat because my furnace is complete. Yeah. So first of all, you might not have electric for half of the day because your neighbors that have all electric, which the electric company told you was the best idea in the world.
Mm-hmm. And money, money, money.
Yeah. So the couple hours you do have heat, your furnace won't run because it's froze up like a block of ice. Meanwhile, I'm sitting out at my house just burning propane. I can hear the regulator whistle from my living room, and I don't care because I'm warm and I'm loving every second of it.
Oh, amen, brother. You put that garage heater in?
Yeah, by you?
That's so nice.
I had no idea how cold it was getting in your garage until the men came. They had to take a time out. They had to warm up. It was that cold in your garage.
They had to go outside to warm up.
It wasn't quite that bad. But they put like, I had like five electric heaters. I am scared to death to see the electric bill next month because they had five like.
You're lucky you didn't see the fire department.
It was just one day. Yeah. Just one day.
Yeah, did you know that Wayne does not have four circuits for his garage? We weren't able to run all the heaters we brought.
Who needs four stinking circuits in the garage? Whatever, guys. Just get the heater going. Wayne will be happy. And we got it.
And I am. And my wife was just like, oh, gosh. You know, you asked me, so is the stuff out of the way so the guys can get to it? And I said, yeah. I'm thinking a ladder, you know. Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, you would put something in, you know, roughly the size of a microwave or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, when you put in, the 47-inch console television mounted up to the ceiling.
And we brought in a telehandler into the garage to put it up. We needed more things moved out of the way, Wayne.
And my wife's like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's all she could say. Oh, boy. I didn't realize they had to do all that. I didn't realize we had to clear out for scaffolding.
It's just nicer with scaffolding. When you get old and you stand on a ladder all day, your calves and your quads cramp up at night. You get to a certain age, it's like, forget ladders, man. I need to scaffold.
And you had one of your softest employees on there.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be here tonight. Segment two, we were going to have our Trader Bros on, but we're only going to be able to do Trader Bro singular. Trader
Bro. It's a shame. Might have to have him come in later. I even texted him in this afternoon because... Don't you usually, like when you feel ill, you feel better as the day progresses?
Absolutely.
Which is why I always come into work when I feel sick, because I'll feel better.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that from my first boss. Tried calling in sick once.
Sleep on the way and to the gym.
You'll feel better.
You're going up to the lakes with Kevin. Just take a nap for that 45 minutes. You'll feel like a million bucks. Worst day of my life. But, hey, I did feel better as the day went along, and I got paid. But so I really thought Tyler would be willing to come in. Oh, I haven't had anything to eat since yesterday morning, and my tummy still hurts. So, well, we'll see if he shows up to work tomorrow. The busiest week of 2021.
Yeah.
With the no heat and frozen houses.
And he's out. And we were counting on him to bring his uninformed opinion here for our entertainment. And he doesn't show.
He probably has a kind of dedication to, or has a better amount of dedication to both his
his pursuits of the finer species and the pursuits of his crypto.
I'm sure
and
he was on Robin Hood all day. Yeah. I'm sure he was on Robin Hood just learning and reading and puts and calls.
My poor tummy. Invest 20, invest 40.
Why don't I have any paid time off? I didn't think I took that many. Dude, you are all the time gone. I don't even take vacation.
No,
that's because
no,
you use 2 weeks of sick time.
Wait. Weather gets nice.
I don't even have any time to take a vacation. This isn't fair. And I'll say, you can take vacation all you want. I ain't paying you during it, though.
All right.
Right.
Yep. You had your how many days, bud? Turning into an old man.
Hi, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Heard a little bit of reaction on the last podcast to the... there's definitely a difference of generation when we talk about the private versus parochial school debate.
Oh, we got feedback?
I haven't
heard this.
Yeah, the private versus public.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. The response that I heard was, you guys just aren't old enough to remember, so you don't have the frame of reference that we do that. And this was someone speaking from the
speaking from
their what?
I want to hear what word you were thinking of. What word are you thinking of?
Speaking from the perspective of
all right,
public school, and a lot of it goes into the allegations of the incentivization of people to come to join. The particular school.
Sounds like somebody who's bitter they weren't good enough to get recruited.
Thank
just
you.
Playing devil's advocate.
I don't have
there.
To say anything.
Yeah, you know.
It took the words right out of your mouth, didn't
you did.
I?
Yeah. Well, they also, the response they also got was, well, what about Aaron? He went to Western. I said, well,
what about him?
And he said, well, you guys don't know anything about sports. And I said, well, wait, first of
what?
All, well, because he didn't know that you played football at BV, and he's, so he's attacking me. He's like, well, what kind of frame of reference do you guys have? Because you weren't there when we were, when things were really bad. And I said, well, I mean, I've got two co-hosts that grew up.
Well, I'm not talking about the 70s. I'm talking about now.
Right, exactly. And he said, well, you guys don't really care much about sports anyway. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? We love sports. And I said, well, yeah, then Aaron was the star basketball player of Sanborn Christian.
That sounds so good. And then I turned 14.
And when did he quit playing basketball? Well, the time that he got to Western Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided that was the end. And so that kind of rolls into the news this week that Western Christian has opted out of the Siouxland Conference.
Lakes.
I'm sorry, Lakes. They were in Siouxland.
No. Weren't they independent?
Yeah, conference free. And
so
then they asked.
They were like
the
Notre
Lakes.
Dame.
Yeah, they were without conference when I was maybe a junior. Somewhere in that neighborhood, so mid to late 90s is when they joined the Lakes Conference. And the Lakes Conference was bigger schools.
At the time, yeah.
Yep. And Shelton was part of Lakes.
Yep, Shelton.
At the time.
Because then, yeah.
Wasn't Sibley?
I don't remember that Sibley ever was.
But you were going to
Spencer,
Emmitsburg.
Cherokee, Storm Lake.
Storm Lake, gosh.
And Lamar's.
Lamar's.
So it kind of fit. And then Sheldon stepped back, got out of it. Lamar's got out of it, and all of a sudden Western's like, well, our closest game is in Cherokee, and that's nearly an hour drive. And we can play in Estherville, and that's an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. This kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And Western isn't the size they were when I was there. There was over 400 kids in Western when I was there in the mid-90s. Trinity started, pulled a lot of kids out of Western. People aren't having as many. I mean, probably the same thing Sheldon or any other public school around here. You just don't have people having as many kids. And now you're down to 200
that,
and something.
Is that what it is? That the farm kids aren't there anymore? There's not enough farms around to...
Families aren't as big in general. I mean...
Yeah.
From the 90s till now?
Yeah. I think even the Catholic schools around here would say the same thing. I've seen that.
I think now families are getting bigger. I think there was a 20-year stretch when one, two kids was maybe the more norm. And now you bump into a lot of people that have
two is more
kids
than enough on some days in my house. So,
but regardless, Western is smaller than what they once were. They're driving an hour, hour and a half. I can certainly understand saying, yeah, this really stinks.
So one of the arguments that I had heard, again, guy from Minnesota, don't have a dog in this fight. Don't eat beef jerky while we're on the air. That is not a smart move.
I'm just getting it ready.
It's going to be a long 3 seconds here, I tell you what. One of the arguments that I heard was, well, why doesn't, since Western can draw from a 5-county contingent, why don't they face schools that have that same drawing power or populace base?
Because they don't get every kid from that 5-county area. I mean, what, Sioux
County?
Well,
it could if they recruit.
Sioux County is 30,000. Each of the surrounding are 10 to 15. You're talking 60,000 people. That's like all of Dubuque. And Dubuque has more than one public school. So they would be 5A in the new football classification. That, with 200 and some kids.
And I say
get
all
real.
I
get
say,
real.
Yeah, I mean, say it all that, tongue in cheek. Bitter, that it's,
yeah, I know.
It's it does. It's tough. It stinks and whatever.
Well, here I am defending Western.
I know. This is well, like the which, third which is podcast in a row, which you're getting a thank you card in the mail. I'm sending you one.
Well, I like I said before, I don't really care one way or the other. I don't have a problem
sense
with Western.
You've made good arguments, and I appreciate it. You've been honest. You've stepped back and really viewed the situation as a whole. And you're
well,
not
I didn't
ass.
Grow up in Sheldon, and Western was not a rival. Unity was a little bit, like I said last time, but not to an extent that I really, really cared or thought, you know, poorly of anybody from Unity. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people here really hung up on crap from 40 years ago.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, now it kind of fuels the debate even more. The school voucher deal has been floated out there where, you know, the private school kids may receive money from the state to attend their institution of choice. I guess
yeah,
we all
would. If your kids are going to an underperforming public school. Which I don't know if there's any within 100 miles of here, is there?
I don't want to name names, but I did hear there are a few not too far away.
Okay. But so the stipulation was that the school had to be in a district that was underperforming in order for them to get the voucher.
Right.
Right.
Okay. I had
but
not heard
a lot
that
of people see this as like a step
towards
full
a
voucher
full
for the
voucher
whole share
program.
Which there are some states around here like Wisconsin and Indiana that do that.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, they haven't imploded.
Huh. Well, so what's your thought here? And all your kids go to private school.
So I really don't. So here's my thought. I appreciate having skin in the game for my kids. I pay monthly tuition and I really, 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 really care where that money goes because I'm writing a check for it.
Sure.
I think of it this way. When you pay income taxes and it comes out of your check, you don't even notice it's missing. The same way with what goes to the public school. You don't notice it's missing. It's just what you're paying. Now, when you have to pay for something, now imagine you paid income taxes, but you wrote a check for it at the end of the year. You mm-hmm. had to save up, pay for it. You would look at income taxes in a complete different light.
Sure.
I would argue that I look at my kids' education in a complete different light because I'm cutting that check for it. And I have I have a vested interest as a business owner that the public school system here and in HMS and at Boyden Hall and Sibley Ocheden and MOC, that they do well. I have no problem paying taxes for that. So for me, would just like any good Dutch person, I will gladly take free money. And I don't know anybody around here that wouldn't.
True.
So if the state would come out and say, we're going to give you money, Aaron, if you choose to send your kids to the Christian school, you'll get $3,000 a piece. Well, okay. Yeah, I'd take that. I do know some people that have an extreme distaste for any money that comes from the government to the point that if they qualify for Hawkeye, they wouldn't take it.
Are these the same people that are farmers but still took the PPP money? Because that was always a curious
there
example.
May be a cross-section that yeah. cuts through there, but...
Well, you know, that's occupational. This is more personal. But so,
one of the things that I saw Corey Meyer and a few other superintendents from the area, what they said was, well, you know, we're not against the voucher totally, but as a public school, we can't turn anyone away, and we have certain restrictions or regulations that private schools don't have that, you know, put a little bit more of a burden on us from a cost standpoint.
Yeah, because they have to jump through those hurdles just to get their money.
Right, right. And I can see that side of it. If you're just giving them the same amount per pupil without the strings attached, I can see where people have a hard time with that. But yeah. It'll be in principle, I don't, whatever. You pay taxes like I do, so.
Right, but it's my choice to send my kids to a different school other than the one that's offered. So,
but you pay, you don't get to get that off of your taxes, you know, the money that you spend to, or that you give to HMS.
But at the same time, if someone who doesn't ever have children, who's doesn't have kids their whole life, they're still paying into.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so it's what you pay to for society to work well. That's how I look at it. So would I take free money? You bet.
But you, but you're also benevolent enough to say that a little bit, you know, I can pay a little bit more for the whole to be better.
Well, like, yeah, and I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I'm a good guy because that's how.
No, but
it's just that's how it's been in America. That's how America works.
But we've covered this conversation before when we talk about tax increases, and you know, I had another person got, you know, up in arms with me a little bit about I think it was the last episode as well. We talk about how people are making decisions on where to live based on the tax rate. Mm-hmm. You know, and this particular person cited examples. I know someone that lives in Matlock. I know someone that lives in Boyden. I know someone that lives in Ashton, so on and so forth, because it's cheaper to live there.
Well, cheaper to live there is different than because of the taxes.
Well, that's part of what makes it cheaper to live there. But you can...
Yeah, but that's part of the reason it's cheaper to live there.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Mm-hmm. If their home values were the same as they are in Sheldon, then the taxes wouldn't be that much different.
Same person also told me that...
Boy, how long was this phone call?
Several different... It's different people!
Oh, okay.
Conceivably. That they were alarmed by your just... absolutely unreal stance on Saved by the Bell.
I wasn't sure who you were talking to.
They surmised it as because you were so, and you can actually hear him breathing heavily into the mic right now.
No, I want to know where this is going.
Their thought was, you must have been the screech.
No,
of
not
your class.
Even
and that's close. Why.
Ah, look, Mitch does something zany.
No, I was the opposite of zany.
So, were you more of an AC Slater then?
No, I wouldn't have been on the show because I was too boring and quiet.
Really?
Yeah. I was a nerd and super shy.
So that seems screechish.
Nope.
We're going to call a spade here.
I guess I was sad that the individual who grew up in a trailer for a portion of their childhood when I knew them didn't come and ask me about that talk. I guess I think a little less of them now knowing they don't listen to the podcast or at least the last episode.
Yeah. I think that's the most heat I've ever caught, though, is being anti-Saved by the Bell. I don't. Well, goes to show that's you that most people are dumb.
That's all right.
That was a joke.
I was going to say that also fed into one of the lines they said. I think when Mitch gets really into one of his tirades, it's because of insecurity, because he's trying to cover something up.
What would I be insecure about Saved by the Bell?
Screech, because you were Screech and you wanted to be Zach.
I know exactly who said that, and he's so full of shit, it's unbelievable. So...
No, that wasn't who it was. We're back with segment two with our traitor bro singular next. Welcome back. We are into segment number two, and joining us now is the promised traitor bro. My good friend Travis Allday. Travis works for me here at Super High Tech. I also referenced him once as a was it a type of dog?
Yeah, he was a Chihuahua.
Yeah,
he said he was a Chihuahua.
Yeah. You're like, I'm more of a golden retriever. And it was like the only podcast that he listened to, like of the 26 that we've done.
That's number two. So why'd you call him a Chihuahua?
I forget the context. You were here.
No, you just said you didn't
explain
it.
You just said that.
No,
I'm pretty certain you didn't explain the context.
I'm just kind of curious. You didn't.
Anyway, Travis, welcome.
Thanks. Got Wayne getting pissed right away. This ought to be good.
This will be good for you.
So we've had this kind of idea pondering in the midst. I know that. So Travis's office and mine are just a stone's throw away. So a lot of times I hear, "Boss, check out the action on Dogecoin rallying up today." And what? That's not?
Not Dogecoin.
You wouldn't talk about
that. Not Dogecoin. That's a bad decision.
Well, so Travis is a cryptocurrency miner. MINER. He is a cryptocurrency investor. And he's also worked the trades a little bit. So, Travis, I guess I'll start with, how did you get started into this, the world of online cryptocurrency and shares trading?
Well, it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago. I was kind of talking to a buddy that lives in Spencer named John. And he was kind of telling me about how his computer parts are basically, layman's terms, his computer parts are making him money. And that kind of intrigued me, being a normal person. I hear, hey, it's making me money. I would like to try it. So I gave it a shot. I had a couple of computer parts laying around, just a couple of graphics cards and whatnot. So I assembled them together, got some helps from a couple of friends. And after a couple of days, all of a sudden, it showed me that I had like $15 made. And I was like, well, shoot. I mean, I didn't do anything. I'm just going to continue with this.
So we're going to use the word layman's terms a lot because, as you know, this is a very in-depth and intuitive area of study. So if you can give us the very, very, very simplistic view of what a cryptocurrency is and how one mines it, what would you tell me, aka people as old as your granddad?
So basically, cryptocurrency is basically a decentralized digital currency that only exists on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, I follow you so far.
Except for there's no way you can physically go to a machine and pull it out of an ATM or anything like that.
It's imaginary money, but different than the way the US dollar is imaginary.
Sort of.
I guess everything's imaginary to a point, but you just have to have people believe in it for it to have value, right?
Well, it used to be backed by gold, but now it's, you know,
backed by the person that prints it.
Ink and paper.
So can you explain just roughly why anyone cares what the ones and zeros that come out of these machines are and how they operate? That was always a big stumbling block for me to try and comprehend why hashes and things like that that make the blockchain, that make the coin. Is there a way that you could very simply answer what that is?
I don't know if there's really a simple version or a simple way to say it, but just essentially all the computer parts are solving math algorithms essentially to solve equations on a blockchain, and then when the blockchain gets solved, it hands out rewards.
World peace.
And there are only so many combinations, and that's how the currency has value, because there's a limited number that could be mined.
Correct. So there's only
there's a finite amount of gold, or
but there's only a set amount of Bitcoin in existence. So after so long, they cut your rewards in half. So instead of 4, you get 2, and then so long you're going to go to 1/2, 1/4.
So what are you now?
So forth.
So the biggest kick I get out of this is, where are you mining?
Where is your mining machine?
At my house?
Oh, I thought it was here.
it was here for a long time.
Oh, fine. So you're using your boss's electricity to mine money.
Tell him that.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the whole thing.
It was heating the garage. Yeah, that was the big selling point. It was heating the garage and like the part where actually anything is maybe raised a half a degree.
I was going to say, it was awful
quiet in
here.
See, boss, $500 later, it's a half a degree warmer.
Yeah, it's...
So now it's heating your home.
Yeah, it's actually sitting in my living room and...
How do you sleep at night? You have to turn it off? I mean, it was annoyingly loud.
Well, so there's different kinds of them. The ones that were here are my annoyingly loud ones. That's why they're
sure,
here.
They can stay at work.
The ones at my house are nice, quiet. They sound quieter than an oscillating fan. So I can get away with them at home versus having them in a concrete spare room.
When you asked how he sleeps at night, I thought you meant because somebody in Texas is sitting there without heat while he is using using their electricity to make imaginary money.
That wasn't a rhetorical question.
Oh,
it was,
okay. Never mind. Got off topic.
Can you answer how what the value, the intrinsic value is of solving that blockchain? Because I know that it's a cloud computing model where you know, everyone works together to solve an equation, and those equations can be used to, I know that, that some of the stuff has been used to help develop like the COVID vaccine. To utilize the processing power of multiple computers. It's hard to understand the how, but the why here is now we're starting to go from a joke from a meme to something that is disrupting the entire market. So tell us a little bit about your experience. You know, you started out with the creation of this asset, and tell us a little bit about your growing into trading it and doing options and that sort of thing.
So I've kind of taken my rewards that I've mined, so my mining profits and everything like that, you can exchange them like into US dollars or straight into Bitcoin or Ethereum or any other type of crypto. So just like there's the stock market of having their ups and downs, cryptocurrency has even more volatile ups and downs where you can ride those waves excessively high or excessively low. I've tried to play the market just like that by taking my mining profits, selling them when they're lower or higher, and then buying them back on the lower side. So just for an example, like say it rewards me 0.5, I sell it at X amount, it drops a little bit, I try and buy back like 0.6 at the same amount.
Sure. So you're trying to build up the stock, but yet you're still moving enough to have that liquidity to...
Yeah.
Dive in and out. Now, of course, one of the reasons why this has become such a topical issue, of course, is the Wall Street Bets and the meme stocks. So tell us a little bit about your understanding into that phenomena.
So for the Wall Street Bets things, I personally don't do stocks too much, but as a topic like that, it's pretty hard not to see it. So there's a Reddit page called Wall Street Bets, and they basically found a giant hedge fund that was short selling a couple of stocks, and they decided enough is enough, let's all try and throw all of our money together and let's go against it, and they ended up basically cranking that price from about bankrupt to its all-time high and causing that.
Yeah, AMC hit, or rather GameStop hit 500, I think, before it was all said and done.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous amount of increase, and by it going up to that high, it caused those hedge funds to have to cut their loss because the stock, they didn't know when it was going to keep going, or they had to hold it, and if they're holding options, they might just expire worthless, and there goes all of their money. So they cut their ties, lost a couple $1 million, and now they moved on and they keep repeating the process.
So you brought up the options part, and that was kind of the next part of what I wanted to get into. The ability to actually trade online and to become your own day trader without the need of a broker, that's been something that's happened here within the last couple of years. Robinhood, of course, being the prime example, and subject to some scrutiny as well, especially when it came to the whole meme stock thing. Tell us a little bit about your experience in the, we'll call it somewhat day trading platform.
So I I did try the options thing a little bit as someone that wasn't too familiar with the stock market. It kind of went good right away, being a very impatient type of person. I pretty much just gave my money to someone else because as I slightly changed, I would think, oh, well, I got to get rid of it because I wasn't sure on it. But and then all of a sudden it would go the other way. And I have already gotten rid of it, where if I would have held on to it, I ended up making money. But instead of I'm impatient and sold it off. So I've actually tried to walk away from the options trading.
So tell us a little bit about how the options trading works. I know there are what are called puts and calls. Could you describe that a little bit for our listeners that maybe don't know what that means?
So a call would basically be you have a feeling that, or an option would be that you can either have a feeling that the stock is going to rise dramatically or decrease dramatically.
I guess, and maybe the distinction is this is different from just saying, hey, I want one share of Apple. You're saying I'm going to bet on the performance of Apple.
Yes. So where if you buy the stock, you own that stock now. There's no way all of a sudden 2 weeks down the road that expiration date comes and all of a sudden your stock expires. It doesn't work that way. Your stock is still going to be there. But the options, you buy a contract to be able to purchase 100 shares of that stock or sell 100 shares of that stock by the certain date that your contract is. And then if you get to your date or your expiration date and your stock is, say you said it was going to go up and it starts going down and it's still down, you have to sell it at a loss where you might end up losing most of your money in that option.
And as we've talked on other podcasts, Tyler, of course, not here today because of his...
the softest employee I've ever had.
Wow.
terrible soft. I have a stomachache, so I don't think I'm going to be in today. And I think it's a generational thing. Mitch says it's not.
Yeah, I don't think.
I mean, how many sick days have you had?
None, because I'm a grown ass man. No,
that's the proper answer.
None, because Wayne would fire him for being sick.
That is also the correct answer. Acceptable. What is your answer?
We neglected to start in the important part. How old are you, Travis?
I'm 26.
All right, so he's 26.
A little older than Tyler.
Little older than Tyler.
Yeah, so my expectations would be a little more for you. Sick days. Use them. You using them? You sitting at home mining crypto?
I've used a couple. Usually, I mean, it's whether it be I'm actually feeling sick
or
I have a family situation or something like that.
I thought
I will use a sick day for that.
Or Wayne's in a
mental health day.
Wayne's in a shitty mood. Really, he doesn't want to deal with it.
So now. Typically, when I visit with someone your age about Robinhood, I only hear about
the gains.
Yes, the gains, the big days, the thousands I've made. But now here you are telling me, and maybe it's because you're 26, you stepped away from it a little bit because you've been burned. I didn't know you could be burned. I've only ever heard about great things and wins.
To be honest, that's kind of how I went into it too. I've only was hearing everyone's gains and everything like that. Everyone kept the red days to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So, future billionaires. Shit. What is that? What is that?
Well, that's a chat of amongst us future billionaires.
And we are out of the future billionaires, how many of them have decided that the puts and calls aren't for them and they're backing away from it?
Just me.
You? Just me. Are you afraid you're going to get booted from this group of future billionaires? How are you going to get to be a billionaire if you don't do puts and calls?
Nope. I got to support the crypto end of that chat. That's where I get to come in my
soul. Who's the closest to being the billionaire in the group?
I have no idea. None of us, to be honest.
Tyler came close once with Tesla. And yeah,
Tyler was supposedly a multi-thousandaire.
For a while. True. He did have a good run on Tesla. I will say that. That is for sure.
An accidental run on Tesla.
Yeah, I feel like everyone had that damn good run on Tesla. I will say that.
And I feel like I'm one of the people that whose free share on Robinhood outperforms anything that I've actually ever tried to purchase. But so getting back to the puts and calls thing, I mean, that's, I think, the biggest difference in the whole day trading scope of like the social media aspect versus traditional investing where you buy just straight pieces of currency. So If I pull up this stock here, so since we started, since our last podcast, actually, I have opened up a Robinhood account, and I've put some money in here just so I can...
Significant.
Yeah.
Significant.
I think our group chat should be called Current Thousandaires.
Hadn't told my wife about that, but thanks.
If it substantially grows, like 100-fold.
All right. Yeah. So if I take a stock here, I'll just pick one here. It's Delta Airlines. All right.
Okay.
So I can trade the options. So I can buy a call. I can buy a put. I can sell a call. I can sell a put. To my thinking, like, buying a call and selling a call are opposite. My infantile old man mind cannot wrap itself around this theory. Could you break it down for your old man boss?
So with a put, if you have 100 shares of that stock, you could actually sell a put of it, basically hoping that someone else would buy that contract. Saying basically you would sell it as a put and they would be buying it as a call.
All right. So I don't own any of this stock. So I just want to trade the option. So if I'm buying a put, I'm doing what?
You think that that stock is going to go down.
So I am buying. So there's the strike price, which is what is the dollar amount of that share on the particular contract expiration day, right?
Correct.
So a put means down. So put down. Put yes. down. Okay. All right. I'm old, I gotta make these mental contacts here. So if I'm buying a put, I'm buying someone else's call.
See that I'll be honest, that's the one I'm not too sure on. I don't know the buying and like I can tell you on the buying the options and calls, but it's the selling part I don't understand, because I know you have to have 100 shares of it to even offer selling one of those. But if, say you bought that contract or of that option or that put, you can sell that one at any time. You don't have to execute it and you'll be paid the difference.
Sure.
But
yeah, so I can see where you could make a lot more money, but it's obviously a lot more volatile with the options part versus just saying I'm buying one share at this price, hope it goes up, and then sell it at the next price and just reap the benefit of the increase between. I'm not going to get everyone into like the, because we're starting to take a real deep dive here into the science of all this. And while I normally talk out of my ass, I'm talking even more so out of my ass when we talk on this subject. So I'm not going to get too far into it, but what has your experience been in this time? Now it's gone from pseudo obscurity into like the main front page news, and you've been along with this movement the whole time. How has your thought about the trader bros changed, and your thought about investing changed in the last 3 months?
Well, I've personally kind of looked at trading as a long haul instead of a short haul now on it. If you're going to, I drop the options. I know it's a lot more of a profit move if you wish, but it's also in the same breath very volatile and could lose your money just as fast on that. Where if you just buy the stock, you still get to own the stock. So I've kind of stepped away from it. I personally...
Your maturity is a real disappointment.
Sorry to let you down.
Why could Tyler not be here?
Right, where's Tyler?
I think I can pinpoint this to a T. He was trader bro to the max, buying options, puts calls, whatever. And then all of a sudden, he decided he was going to buy a ring. And then it all came tumbling down.
Well, now there is a good long-term investment right
wow,
there.
Man.
Thanks, Mitch. Thank you.
I don't know that we've got enough time here tonight to break down this entire phenomena, but suffice it to say, the little man trading, like what we're doing, is here to stay. And we just, as easy as you can make money is as easy as you can lose your ass. So you just have to stay educated. And Travis, we just appreciate you taking the time to give us that education.
Hey, not a problem at all.
All right. Travis Alday, Trader Bro extraordinaire, a connoisseur of fine Taco John's, and a future prisoner, a married man. We look forward to talking to you again once we've reached our multi-thousandaire status. All right. Back with segment three next. Oh, that's what life's like when the only people that hit on you are people at the gas station.
Hey, these guys don't even look like truckers.
And hey, welcome back to segment three.
There's our cold open.
Since our last podcast, I've gotten the Robin Hood. And
good for you. Mitch?
Yeah, me too. Same here.
And so it's been a couple weeks. And
I have significantly upped my investment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like we all did the same thing without even telling each other.
Yeah.
So like we all have.
That's how we know it was meant to be.
Yeah, we all have.
Well, I didn't want to be the only one not doing it. You know, I didn't want to come across as like insecure. But
well, you're busy. Right. You don't want to be insecure.
Segment one throwback.
But so you've got your typical, your traditional investments into John Deere.
All of mine are fairly Caterpillar traditional. And
Warren Buffett, or no, Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, that's what you have. It's a Berk B, though. I want a Berk A. But as soon as my account hits 371,000, then I'm throwing them all on Berk A.
That's what it, what?
That's what it takes to get in? That's a single Berkshire Hathaway stock. Yeah.
And what is the average a year?
A lot.
Percent?
Is that the one they had to get?
I remember seeing it for like 70 grand within, you know, my adulthood. So apparently returns pretty well.
Are pretty good. Yeah. You know?
When I was growing up in Minneapolis, when you turned 18, you can go to the casino. And so that was like a rite of passage. You can do that
in Flandreau too. I don't know how you would know that.
You don't have to go to Flandreau. You just go to Canton to the gas station. That also a casino. Right.
Yeah, the Silver Armed Bandit was there as well. But yeah, well, growing up in Minnesota, 18 years old, you'd wait till you at midnight. You'd go into the casino and you waste $20, or if you were not as smart, you'd waste more. But this was, and so. In the years since then, I've probably spent a grand total of $500, maybe $750, from 18 to almost 37 on gambling. And not something that I really get super into, but this is kind of interesting. And I just think about something Mitch said, I think it was the last episode, that I think it was that Mark Cuban quote, that everyone looks like a genius during a bull market.
I started on Robinhood a week ago, and when you scroll through and look at all the different stocks you can buy and whatever else, the automatic horizon that they put on the charts is one day.
Right.
So that tells you the type of investor that is typically attracted to it.
Yep.
Where I want to look at it on like a 5-year.
Sure. But how irresponsible is it to try and track out that far? There are so many different things that play into these stocks,
yeah.
i.e. John Deere, your favorite company of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no way you can forecast 5 years.
Well, no, but I want to look at returns on a longer horizon because I'm not going to get out in that amount of time. I'm not going to actively trade. So that's what I'm looking at. And then I also always think of the quote from, I believe it was Joe Kennedy, who said, when you're getting stock tips from your shoeshine boy, it's time to get out of the market. And I'm not to denigrate a regular person. It's
when
just saying
your stock tips from your plumber.
Shoeshine boy sounds bad, like you look down on him. But I just mean it's a regular person who wouldn't necessarily go to for that type of advice.
Right. Normally. Yeah, but my young guy that's too sick to come here to the podcast today. He talked me in on Friday into putting a little bit of money in on a call.
For what kind of stock?
For a Canadian weed company. I'm just going to go ahead and use the letters that they go by, not Canadian Weed Company. And that's...
Could you Google Canadian Weed Company? And
come no, because there's a whole there's bunch of them.
Yeah, I suppose anymore, yeah.
There's a whole... When you pull it up and you got all the categories you can look at, the hemp and cannabis is its own entire category.
So they're called Sundial Growers. So that sounds innocent enough.
I had no idea.
So, but the idea is that I have a contract that I can trigger or
exercise.
Whatever. Exercise anytime between now and sometime in 2023. We just need it to go up some.
Oh, okay.
And not to go down any.
Okay.
Should be pretty easy.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So it's a long-term investment as far as Robinhood is concerned.
And I guess we should probably add some sort of caveat in there that we're not offering any sort of financial advice.
Wouldn't that be crazy if we got sued?
Right. Well, I heard on the DBA, the number 13 English news podcast in Germany, mm-hmm. that...
Were we number 5 in Austria?
I should find that again.
You know what?
Did I not tell you about that, Mitch?
No.
I don't think you did.
I told Aaron. If we're doing that well, it might be time to go public.
Right.
Time for an IPO. We'll be on Robinhood.
There we go.
You can buy and sell. Well, you'd be buying and selling just as much real things.
Yeah, as tangible Airbnb. Asset. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Because Airbnb is...
It's all intellectual property mm-hmm. here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think you're really onto something, buddy. So how do we do that?
Yeah.
Do we bring the Trader Bros in again? Do they know how to do that?
Nah.
Yeah. Well, they don't know how to get...
You show up and you ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange.
I found the email from... It was from January 6th. Hello. How's it going? Hope all is well. I have some cool information that might interest you. Your podcast, Dutch by Association, it has good performance in Apple Podcast rankings. It's position number 116 in the category news commentary in Germany.
Yes.
Happy podcasting. That's probably IPO worthy, right?
Oh, yes.
Pay.
We have a sponsor lined up.
What?
I told you. I texted you.
Yeah, I know. This was dramatic effect.
Oh, well, you looked like you didn't believe me. That was good acting.
26 episodes.
We do.
Which
it, you'll hear about it in June.
What I find mm-hmm. funny is that it's Aaron's friend and neighbor, but he went through you, so you feel like you...
No, it was my idea.
You cemented this. Oh, you brought it up to him.
I brought it up to him. He mentioned how much he liked the podcast, and I said, well, we're always looking for sponsors.
Because he texts...
And he kind of looked... at the ground and thought, like, oh, what the hell do I say to that? And then he went home and he texted us.
Were you working a deal on a tractor at the time?
We were working on some other stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Always something in the hopper.
Yeah.
And I was part of that chat group, so I watched it all go down. Mitch was masterful.
Oh, so it wasn't even...
Oh, no. I planted the seed in person.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, you did in person. Okay. Because I know you mentioned it on the chat thing, too.
Mm-hmm. The Gettings Gardens will be
our exclusive...
For the month of June.
June sponsor.
March, April, and May are still available, but, slots are filling up fast.
I did see the message where he's like, I'll just get you guys a bunch of... ice cream and cakes and donuts.
Strawberry.
And,
strawberry.
Like donuts, strawberry, ice cream.
Do it.
I'll take it. Oh, man, it seems like a long ways off, but really you're only 45 days away from maybe some field work. Doesn't that sound crazy
as it's the polar
4 degrees below right now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the guy sitting on the toilet below. Have you seen
the deal on
the negative four with the degree symbol behind it looks like a dude sitting on a one of my guys took a picture of that and he put it on his Facebook, and then my mom asked me why that was funny, and it's Mom, I really, I don't want to have to explain this.
Do you, Mom? Asked, let's have a talk about the dangers of the internet.
Do you have? do you feel better or worse that your mom doesn't listen anymore?
I think she does listen. Some.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. She's just not caught up. We're producing them quicker than mom listens.
No, I think we're on like a good schedule here every other week. I think that's that's a good frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And
mom is just finding Celine Dion much more fun to listen to than the pod, I guess.
Here, far, wherever you are, my heart will go on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's probably enough of our... if you're going to go on Robinhood, I guess you can do what Aaron says and buy something or sell something based on weed.
Go to Sundial Growers and get that stock price boosted. Oh, I should go to that Reddit room and post that.
Wall Street Bets.
Hey dudes,
let's a big put hedge our money. Fund has shorted this.
I'm sure your trader bro did not come up with this idea on his own. He probably went to or got it from a Wall Street Bets.
No, he had something. He forwarded me that night. He forwarded me two articles that were written about how this may be the sleeper stock.
Brr. Published by sundialgrowers.com.
Please invest money. Please.
As we wrap this up, I will say this to try and get everyone in a little bit better mood. Pitchers and catchers have reported.
Oh, they have?
They have.
Wow. Oh, wow. I haven't even paid attention.
As of today, at least to some of the teams. So.
Do we know when opening day is going to be?
Last year, it was on my birthday. This year.
Oh, I know when that is.
Oh, yeah, me too.
No. March 26th.
March 26th. I was just going to say that.
April 1 is the opener, and the Twins open on the road at Milwaukee. So the home opener will be April 8th.
Will they have spectators?
It's up in the air yet. A lot of that remember, you're in Minnesota. It depends on the governor. It's... Walls, West Walls, William Walls, whatever.
Wallace. If you were in Iowa, they'd be like, you bet, let's pack it.
Yep.
Everybody like, COVID, Kim, you're going to kill everybody. I couldn't be more happy we live where we live. You're going to kill everybody.
I was listening
There to he a, is, getting political right at the end.
I'm not getting political.
Well, no, I'm with you 100% on that. I was listening to a podcast today. It was like ABC News, and just because that's your news roundup, and... We interviewed someone from Des Moines, and it was like a boutique owner in Des Moines that
I put a sign up, and they did not follow my sign about wearing a mask, so I made them wait outside.
Yep. Good.
No, that's fine. If you want to destroy your business over a rule like that, go ahead. Half the people won't come in. That's your choice as a business owner. My favorite thing was going into the NRCS office, and... It looked like I came into a room that was full of plastic, and I stood on one side of the plastic with the guy that stood on the other side of the plastic.
When you get
into the parking lot, you have to call us because the door will be locked, and then we will let you in and lock the door behind you.
Well, they forgot to lock the door behind me. And then another farmer came into the front entryway into like a 12-foot by 20-foot room. Oh, we had a problem. There were two individuals.
Well, I suppose that's a government
inside
office.
The entryway.
The NRCS, the N is probably national, right?
And farmer's like, I just have to drop off. And so there are three NRCS people. Should we make him go outside? We should probably have him go out in the parking lot. Who forgot to lock the door? There's two people there. And they had a discussion over how to handle this second farmer. I just got some paperwork. Can I set them here on the floor? Sir, please wait. We don't know. I feel like you're just leave the papers on the floor.
Like in a hostage negotiation.
Oh, it was
I'm
really
going to put this here and I'm going to stand back. Yep. I'm going to walk five paces backwards.
And I'm like, do you need me to leave so dude can bring you the papers? Is that okay? I don't know, sir. We're in a situation we've never experienced. Two people in the entryway. And like, holy crap, you guys.
So I don't know if I told you guys, but So learned a couple weeks back that Hy-Vee has the antibody test. Mm-hmm. You can get it for $25. So I thought, you know, I'll spend $25 to see that I've had it, or if I've had it or not. I did not. My wife has had this weird deal for the last couple months. She's like, what's that smell? And I'm like, you know, so I'm checking my pits.
Yeah, Wayne,
you know,
what's like, that smell?
Well, obviously.
I get that a lot, so, you know.
Well, that's the first place she went. And she's like,
you?
Yeah, she went to me. Well, first off, it's like, well, go to the freaking dog first, smell him, then smell. Well, I smell it on him, I smell it on you. I'm like, well, maybe it's just you. So then I would, like, joke with her, like, oh, maybe you got a tumor. Maybe you're going to smell this way forever. And
That's not funny.
It was to me. Well, she blamed me for smelling.
Wow.
She described it as yeasty meat.
So I have to ask you this.
Well, naturally, I would assume that was you.
Is your wife's smell, is that the reason Reggie went and had 17 teeth pulled out for about $8,000? Or did you smell Reggie's bad breath too? You did too. Okay, it wasn't just your wife that.
No, I can confirm.
No. No, there was. Yeah, it was not a not a matter of conjecture there.
So your wife has this continual smell,
and then it was just an occasional smell, like it, because it wasn't like all the time. It was just every once in a while she'd get a whiff of it, like. Where is it? So, you know, she'd be looking under couches. She'd be looking like.
Where is this yeasty meat?
Yeah. Who left a sock full of ground round sitting somewhere, you know? So she would be like, you know, she would be smelling me, which is like, okay, well, buy me dinner first. But then finally, she's just like, so she goes to the doctor and doctor gives her antibiotic and says, well, if this doesn't work, then you have to go see an ENT.
Step one, yeah, and antibiotic.
She's had 3 COVID tests, all negative. So she goes in, and antibiotics aren't working. So they schedule her over the ENT. He said that you're fine. There's nothing wrong with, like...
A tumor.
Well, they did a scope and all that stuff.
I can imagine how that went.
So after she tells me that's what kind of got me thinking, like, well, let's, you know... Because the doc said, well, you might have had COVID and maybe this is how it manifested. Because, you know, we didn't really have symptoms or anything like that in the house. So, yeah, I got my antibody test. It was negative. She got hers. It was positive.
She had the COVID.
So she had the COVID. I think it's very interesting that we can actually get it. It's relieving that we can actually get the antibody test for cheap. Because I remember.
That's a blood draw, right? Or not?
It's a pinprick. And it's like a basically like a pregnancy test. You know, they drop the dropper of blood and you wait and see if the line, if there's a line.
Oh, you've got it. I don't think you were supposed to pee on it.
Yeah, well, I wanted them to know it was mine.
Okay.
No, but yeah, that's how the pharmacist, yeah, because you just go in, the pharmacist pricks your finger, drops it on the thing, says, oh, 15 minutes, you'll know. We'll see if there's a line or no line.
Oh, boy. Let me go see if the brisket's on sale. Yeah.
It was not.
That is tempting to do. Mitch knows he had it because...
Well, right.
I had a positive test. Positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you only have it... They say you only have the antibodies for whatever, 90 days or potentially whatever.
It's a guess.
It is a guess. But then you start thinking... Okay, well, how did I not have the antibodies, but she did? You should take the antibody test so we can both rub it in Mitch's face.
What?
That our immune systems are stronger than yours.
How are they stronger?
Because they did not.
I was exposed. They did but not. My immune system didn't need no antibodies to tell it what to do because it's smart enough to know. How's that?
Come on, Screech. What do you got? We want to thank...
Now I'm the one who's inappropriate.
Want to thank Travis for coming here. Want to thank Tyler for nothing.
You know, guys, I can come on next week.
Can you?
Can you? We can't guarantee here. Nothing.
Why don't you sit here and you just think about what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Tell us everything you know and we'll splice that 10 seconds into the next podcast.
Sounds like a really good idea.
And Darren?
Today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. What are the chances your child does something DUM dumb to their phone this week, this month, or has it already happened? Super High Tech in Sheldon, Orange City, and Sioux Center is open 6 days a week to help you out. And on the web at super-ht.com.
You can learn more about the pod and just who we think we are by hitting us up on the socials. You can find us on Facebook, Insta, and Twitter, all at DBA Pod. And someday I'll finish the website, dbapod.com. In the meantime, you can visit there and see the guy still on his union smoke break.
It's cold. Too cold to work on a website.
That's true. That's true. In the meantime, we'll see you.
But all hell is going to break loose, and you're going to need a Bitcoin.